Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His word. The topic of this devotional is God's work. Our scripture is Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 26.
Now these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is so, why then am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them.
Feeling like everything is on us can bring a lot of pressure. This responsibility enslaves us to our work and our competencies. It makes us feel like we can't mess up. Maybe you feel this as a student. If you don't make the grades and build out the perfect resume, you feel your future will be devastated. Or maybe you feel this as a parent. If you don't do everything right with your kids, you worry that they won't grow up into healthy adults. This Genesis passage actually teaches us that everything is not, in fact, on us, but on God. This reality frees us from the pressure we feel. It frees us from our discouragement when we don't feel like we're enough. Before examining this passage, let's back up and summarize the events that have happened in the narrative up to this point. In the previous devotional, we saw that God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham responded in faith with willing obedience, but God stopped him from killing Isaac at the last second. God rewarded Abraham's faith with blessing. Genesis then moves on to recount that Abraham's wife Sarah dies and is buried in Canaan, the promised land. When Abraham feels he is reaching the end of his own life, he calls his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham asks that the wife not be a Canaanite, but that the servant travel back to Abraham's own people and find one of Abraham's relatives. The servant prays and depends on God to guide him to the right woman. God answers the servant's prayer and connects him with the woman Isaac is to marry, Rebekah. Rebekah agrees to move to Canaan and marry Isaac. Now we pick up in the passage we just read. We see that Rebekah is unable to have children. Isaac prays on behalf of Rebekah, and God answers Isaac's prayer. Rebekah becomes pregnant with twins. God speaks a very interesting prophecy over Rebekah's pregnancy. He says that the older child will serve the younger. This is an interesting prophecy because it overcomes common practices of the time. The firstborn normally received the inheritance and assumed leadership of the family. However, in this case, God has chosen to continue the line of his people through the younger son. He's chosen to give the younger son blessing and leadership. So first we see that Rebekah only conceives because of God's intervention. And then we see that her youngest son inherits the promise of blessing and leadership again only because of God's intervention. God is directing attention away from human ability and focusing it instead on His power and His work. We see this point expounded upon in the New Testament. Paul comments on this story in Romans 9, verses 11 through 12, saying, "For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to His choice would stand, not because of works, but because of Him who calls, it was said to her, 'The older will serve the younger.'" Like we talked about before, Paul is saying that God chose the younger brother to direct attention away from human ability and focus it instead on His power and work. The story is not about either son's competencies. It's not about their good works. All of the blessing and redemption in the younger son's life will be because of God's power and God's work. God works in our lives today in the same way, focusing attention not on us and our abilities, but on Him, His power, and His work. We see this principle displayed in our salvation. When we become saved, all of our spiritual blessings come as a result of God's work, not ours. Instead of having to pay the price for our sins, we inherit Christ's death, and our debt is canceled. Instead of having to earn God's favor, we inherit Christ's perfect life, and His good standing before God is credited to us. Just like the younger son in Genesis, we did nothing to deserve getting our inheritance. Our salvation is because of God and His work, not ours. We also see this principle displayed in our daily lives even after salvation. We aren't limited by our failures, frustrations, or weaknesses, because our story continues to be about God and His work. When we lose our patience with our roommate again after promising ourselves we wouldn't, we can trust that God is working in our hearts and refining us. As we mature and become more patient, our roommate will be pointed to God and His work. When we get the 10th rejection letter from a job application, we can trust that God is working out His plan for our life. When He provides for us, we will be pointed to Him and His power. Or when we feel as though we aren't doing anything big or meaningful with our lives, we can trust that God is working our lives into His grand plan of redemption. And when we eventually see God's plan fulfilled at the end of time, we will be pointed to God and His work. So to sum this all up, our salvation came from God and His power, and our lives continue to be about God and His power. In the face of our failure, frustration, and weakness, we do not have to sit in discouragement, because we can trust that God's power always prevails. We can experience the peaceful freedom of knowing that everything is not on us, and that God is at work. Let's pray. Lord, You are at work and You are in control. You have a plan that is not dependent upon me, but upon Your power. Thank You for the freedom that this reality brings. God, I bring my failures, frustrations, and weakness to You, surrendering them to Your power. Amen. Where in your own life are you relying on your own competencies and abilities instead of God? How might you reorient your focus to God's work and God's power rather than your own? Spend some time reflecting on this as you listen to the worship song.
I'm standing under the waterfall of your approval, and I find that I don't need anything else or anyone else but you. Your mercy is a song that I know by heart, but I forget the words the moment I start to trust anything else or anyone else but you. Show me how to stay here, stay here, stay here. I'll just wait here, wait here. Speak over me, tell me again that I'm someone you love. Let it sink in, tell me a million times who I am in heaven's eyes. So I'm letting go of all other names that I gave myself when I heard you say, come and find yourself in heaven. Detail like the back of your hand, nobody